Lancaster Baptist Podcast features the dynamic preaching and teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church. The purpose of this podcast is to help others love God, grow together through the teaching of God's Word, and serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
All of us have issues in our lives and events and circumstances that sometimes come into our mind and sometimes are fearful to us. And certainly that was the case with those who first went to the empty tomb. And we're going to learn how they overcame that by the grace of God today. And so Luke 24 is our text, beginning in verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. Shall we pray? Lord, we pray that you would help us today to remember your words, and in doing so, help us to overcome the fears of this life. And for those who would have the fear or concern of eternal life, may their heart find rest in Jesus Christ today, in whose name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Jesus had clearly taught his disciples that he would be crucified and that he would raise up again 3 days later. He told them on several occasions, he told them in several different ways that he would be crucified and rise again. But somehow by resurrection morning, those truths had become just words to some of the disciples. I wonder if it's like that for you from time to time, that we hear truth in church on Sunday, but by the time Thursday comes, that great truth are just some words that we're not really taking to heart and being lifted by through our day. Well, I don't blame the disciples. After all, they had experienced trauma like many of us have never seen. The one they loved, the one they worshiped, the one they had followed for 3.5 years. Had now been crucified, and they had watched step by step as Jesus paid this terrible price. The disciples had seen Jesus taken to Caiaphas' house, and Caiaphas' house was just across the Kidron Valley, about 1/4 mile from the old wall of Jerusalem. And there they saw Jesus as he was falsely accused, and as he was beaten, and as he paid some of the first portion of the price for our sin. And there they watched the one they love suffer so greatly. From there, he was sent to Pilate. And before Pilate, about 6 a.m., once again, Jesus was falsely accused. And then the Bible records to us that he was sent to Herod, the governor of Palestine. And once again, he was ridiculed and once again sent back to Pontius Pilate, who, after questioning, finally said, I find no fault in him. But it was too late. The crowd was crying out, give us a Barabbas, give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus. And so, as we saw last week, Jesus bore his cross. And he went up the hill called Golgotha. And there, at the hill of the skull, the Lord Jesus Christ received the first of the nails by way of the Roman soldiers, and then the second nail through his hand, and then through his feet, and then they took the cross and lifted him up between heaven and earth, and then allowed the cross to come down into the ground so that his ligaments and his muscles began to tear and his blood began to flow. And all the while, Mary Magdalene and the other disciples were watching. And with every pounding of a nail and with every crushing of a thorn, their hearts were breaking because the Savior, the Son of God, the one who had changed their lives, was being so persecuted and caused so much pain. When Jesus had met Mary Magdalene, back in Luke chapter 8, Jesus met a woman that was filled with trouble. And this woman that was the first to the empty tomb had seen her life radically changed by Jesus Christ. After all, if you read Luke chapter 8, you'll remember that she had been plagued by demons, and she was a woman under the power of Satan, and Jesus Christ forgave her sin and took away the power of the wicked one from her life and set her free. And like many today with drugs and alcohol addictions, and many who have even delved into demonic studies, their lives are detached from reality. Their heart is numb by sin. And Jesus Christ brought her back to fellowship and restored her life. And yet the one that had so loved her, the one that had taught her, the one that had saved her now had been crucified on the cross. Perhaps it was that trauma that caused her to forget some of the truth that Jesus had so carefully taught her. And so it was on that first resurrection morning. She, along with others, made her way to the empty tomb, not to celebrate, not in great anticipation of joy, but with heaviness of heart, Mary went there. Mary went to that tomb with the spices she had prepared for his burial. And isn't it a blessing that many times ladies are so knowing and helpful in bringing comfort and taking something very difficult and making it as best they can a little bit better. And she was an expert, as others, with taking the spices and preparing for the burial. And we thank the Lord for ladies who have understanding of spices and perfumes and what to do with all of that. I heard of a little boy that was walking through his house and he saw his mother in the other room putting on cream on her face. And he said, "Mom, why are you putting all that on your face?" And she said, "Oh, honey, I do this to make myself beautiful." And he thought about that. He walked away. He came back a little later and he saw his mom peeling it all off of her face. And he looked at his mom and he said, "What's the matter, Mom? You giving up?" Now, us fellas, we don't always know what to do with ointments, perfumes, and spices. But Mary Magdalene and the others, they knew. And they were going to do something good for the one that they loved. But as they came, and as they saw the stone rolled away, and as they saw the empty tomb, their hearts were gripped by fear. And the Bible tells us here in the passage in verse number 5, "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Now the angels were not afraid, but Mary and the other ladies, their hearts were filled with fear. And you know what that means. They were overwhelmed. They were perplexed. They were filled with anxiety. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the strongest among us have fear. Those who wear a badge have fear. Those who have a lot of money have fear. Those who have perfect health have something they fear. Everyone does. It might be fearing something financial. It might be a health matter. It might be a relationship. Why did he leave me, or will he leave me? It might be in the matter of a teenager that is not living for the Lord. It might be in the matter of health. It might be cancer. It might be some other type of difficulty with our health. Everyone faces fear. I remember a few years ago in the country of South Africa, my brother and I were going to an AIDS hospital. We were passing out Bibles and telling people about Jesus. And I remember going from room to room, and I'll never forget the eyes of the people looking at us as we would come around the corner and into the room. And I tell you, those were the eyes of fear. What's happening in 10 minutes? What's happening tomorrow? What about my family? What about eternity? Sometimes I still see those faces in my mind because they were the faces of fear. Now, how would Mary handle this fear? Would she fight her way through? Would she go into flight and run away from everything that had so burdened her from this traumatic event in human history? I'm told there are several kinds of fear. For example, there is rational fear. Rational fear is essential for self-preservation. Let me tell you something. If you go out on 40th Street East, right after Lancaster Baptist is emptying out and Baptists are heading for lunch, and you stand in the middle of the road and you do not experience fear, something is wrong. There is a rational fear that God gives all of us for self-preservation, and it's a good thing. But then there's exaggerated fear, the kind of fear that plagues our mind, and sometimes there's even irrational fear that changes our personality. Neuroscientists tell us that there are two great emotions in this life. One is fear, and one is love. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And what the angels wanted to tell Mary that morning was that the one that loved you and the one that died for you is not here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? You don't have to grovel in fear. You can stand in faith because Jesus Christ is alive. And your fear can be overcome by love. Well, how can we experience God's power when our heart is gripped with fear? I want to give you three ways this morning. Three biblical methods that will help every one of us to overcome life's greatest fears. The first thing we've got to do is hear the Word of God. We must hear the Word of God. Now, the women had heard the good news before, and yet somehow they needed to hear it again. How many of you are like me? You need to hear it again. That's why we need the repetition of the Word of God. We need the preaching of the Word of God and the reading of the Word of God. And it is the truth of the Word of God that we need to hear, first of all, in order to renew our faith. If our faith is going to be renewed, and certainly Mary's needed renewal, then we must go to the Word of God. Now look at verse 6. The Bible says, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you that these things when He was in Galilee. He is not here. They stood there at the empty tomb. Mary's heart was overwhelmed. She realized at that moment that something was not right. But in the shock of it all, she needed the reminder of the word of truth that Jesus Christ would rise again. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My friend, the word of God renews our faith. The word of God takes a hurting heart, a fearful heart, and begins to light a fire once again of renewal within our hearts. Now, Charles Spurgeon spoke of the Word of God in this way. He said, I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else not believe at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. My friend, the Word of God is not just poetry. It's not just human literature. It is, in truth, the Word of God. And it will renew your faith. We'll learn more about that next Sunday morning. God says, I've given you my word to strengthen your faith. But not only will the word of God renew your faith, but I want you to see, secondly, it will revive your spirit. The word of God revives our spirit. To say that Mary Magdalene's spirit was crushed is the understatement of the day. She was lost in hurt. She was lost in pain. Her spirit had been crushed with every nail that had been driven into Jesus. When the spear was placed into his side, when the crown of thorns was placed upon his head, her spirit, because she so loved him, was crushed with every blow against Jesus Christ. And she needed her spirit to be renewed. And we all need our spirit to be renewed. And that's what the Word of God does best. The psalmist said in Psalm 56 and verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Psalm 119, 24, Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. I've got to tell you something, friend. More than any counsel you'll ever receive, the Bible is the best counsel you can possibly get. It will renew and encourage your spirit. How do we overcome the fear that grips our heart? We must first hear the Word of God. That's why it's important to have a Bible-preaching church. Not a church that's giving psychology or the news of the day, but preaching the Word of God, because it renews us and it revives our spirit. But notice, secondly, this morning, we must not only hear the Word of God, but we need to rehearse the Word of God. We need once and again to hear the Word of God. Now notice in verse 8 what happens. The Bible says, and they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now, verse number 8, say it with me, ready, begin. And they remembered his words. One more time. And they remembered his words. So we must first rehearse the truth in our minds. They remembered it. It came back to them. And we need to take our minds and be renewed by and reminded by the Word of God. Psalm 77, verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. Now, sometimes we're not very good at remembering what really matters most. And when things are going bad and worse and bad and worse, our mind begins to be cluttered with the negatives of Satan rather than the truth of the Word of God. And we need to remember in our mind the great truth. In this case, she had even forgotten the truth of the resurrection, and she needed to remember that. And I find that all of us, when we get busy and under pressure, we can forget the truth that we've learned before. Reminds me of the story of the teacher who had show and tell in her primary age class. She said, boys and girls, tomorrow we're going to come together and I'm going to let all of you tell a little bit about your religion and just tell us a little bit about church. And so the first boy came and he stood before the class and he said, my name is Benjamin and I am Jewish and this is the Star of David. And all the boys and girls went, wow, cool. And then a little girl came and she said, my name is Mary, I am Roman Catholic, and this is a crucifix. And all the kids were like, oh, wow. Next boy came, he said, my name is Johnny, I am a Baptist, and this is a casserole. Now, sometimes that's about how deep it gets, you know. Well, why do you go to that church? Well, I like the pastor, he's funny, the people are good, you know, the programs are good for the kids. But folks, we're not supposed to be here for the pastor, for the programs, or for the buildings. We're to be here because the truth is being preached, you see. And they remembered the truth. And we've got to get back to the truth of the Word of God because the truth sanctifies us. Jesus said in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the truth renews our mind. Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God says, I want to take that which has dashed your hopes and that which has disappointed you and that which has brought fear upon you. And I want your mind to come out of that and be renewed by the eternal truths and promises of my book. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, then think on these things. And the angel said, Mary, stop thinking about spices and stop thinking about how the body's going to be wrapped and stop thinking about the stone that's been rolled away and start thinking about what Jesus told you to think about, that he would rise again on the third day. Why do we let our minds go on into the land of what if when we can live in the reality of what is? The truth of the Word of God. The truth rehearsed will renew our minds. And in our own minds, we need to rehearse God's Word. And then secondly, with our friends, we need to rehearse the truth of God. That's why it's good to have a church family and Christian friends who share faith. You know, the guys at work tomorrow that don't know the Lord, they're going to talk about Vegas, they're going to talk about the Lakers, they're going to talk about their escapades. But you know, isn't it a blessing that we're here today to celebrate the truth of Jesus Christ, you see? Oh, listen, the Bible says in verse number 9, and they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Look at, we've got some good news today. Jesus Christ died for our sin. Our sins are forgiven. We have a home in heaven. The Spirit of God lives within us. The Word of God is a lamp and a light for us. We've got some good news. Now, the media, they feed on only negative. You know what I'm saying? They feed on fear. The more fear, the higher their ratings. They don't want to just show you the tsunami once, they want to show it every single hour for days. And the tsunami is tragic. Our church sent this week some more funds to our missionaries in Japan, and we need to pray for these tragedies. But it seems like the media will sometimes seize upon these events to captivate our minds, to think about how bad it is and how worse it could get. But friend, we need to remember things that are lovely and true and pure, and we need to meditate on those things. Peter needed to be reminded of those things. You remember Peter? He was the one that denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of Caiaphas' house, he said, I don't know him. I don't know him. He warmed his hands there outside of Caiaphas' house. And while he did that, the Bible says he denied the Lord three times. In fact, when I was visiting there not long ago, a few years ago in the Holy Land, someone had erected a rooster right there at the site to say, this is where Peter denied Jesus. By the way, how many of you would like a little statue built everywhere you sinned? Some of you guys couldn't even get from the front door to the living room. Here's where you got mad. Here's where you kicked the dog. Here's where you forgot my anniversary. I mean, you never get in there. This is where Peter denied the Lord. And that's why Jesus said in Mark 16:7, go your way and tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, that there ye shall see him as it was said unto you. Hey, Peter needed somebody to go and rehearse with him. Jesus is alive. Thomas needed somebody to reassure him. It really is Jesus Christ. We need to remember in our minds, we need to tell somebody else. In John 20:29, Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me, and yet they have believed. Listen, when fear grips our heart, we need to hear the word of God. We need to rehearse the word of God. We need to tell others the word of God in order that fears will flee and faith will be strengthened. But I want you to see, thirdly, if we're going to overcome the fears that face us, we're not only going to have to hear the word and rehearse the word, but let me say this, we must begin to worship the Lord. We must live a life of worship for our Lord. We've got to make it an everyday practice. Every day a song in my heart. Every day the scripture in my life. Every day worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, taking this service and taking this truth with us tomorrow and the next day and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this passage, Luke 24 and verse 33 tells us, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. We read on down to verse 34 saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that he had been seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Does that ever happen to you? Thoughts arise in your hearts. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye have seen me. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Notice in verse 52, as Jesus has been now explaining to them and showing to them the scriptures and showing himself. Notice in verse number 52, the Bible says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I want you to notice, first of all, they worshiped him with assurance. Jesus came to them and he began giving them assurance. And notice in verse 38, he said, why are you troubled? Why do these thoughts arise in your heart? He realized that they were troubled. And let me tell you something. Trauma can cause us to forget what we know. When you go through a traumatic experience, sometimes our firefighters and paramedics call it being in shock. And when you have had such levels of anxiety that you are in shock, the fear has gotten that great, you can literally lose an idea of your surroundings, and you can come to a place where you really forget what you already knew before. And these disciples in Jerusalem and in the upper room, instead of having great anticipation, were filled with great fear. They forgot that Jesus said that he would come again, that after he was risen, he would go before them into Galilee. Listen, trauma will cause us to forget, but the truth will reinforce our faith, and the truth will help us to alleviate our fears. Now, scientists call that cortical remapping, or the neuroplasticity of the brain, and how a brain through cognitive therapy can be replenished and can be renewed in the way of thinking. But Jesus is not talking about cognitive therapy. Jesus Christ literally, through his Spirit and his Word, speaks about the renewing of our mind. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And while fear, we are told, will trigger a chemical response and even change the physiology of our brain. And sometimes as the cortisol levels are raised, there will come a type of constriction to the neurons, and there will bring a type of shock or paralyzation of the thought process. Jesus Christ wants to take someone that is gripped by fear, someone who's not thinking properly, someone who is living only in the sense of the traumatic moment. And he says, listen, I want you to focus on my word. I want you to worship me as the risen Savior who conquers death and the grave, which is the greatest fear of life. And I want you through worship to be transformed in your life. That's the power of God. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Would you say that with me? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Get your mind out of the spices. Get your mind off what you think you see and get your mind into the truth of the resurrected Savior. And isn't it interesting that Jesus says to them, why are you troubled? And he begins to assure them with his presence. And notice his first words in verse 36. He says, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Dr. Joseph Stoll, the past president of Moody Bible Institute, told the story of going to a children's home, and as he was there visiting this Christian home, he couldn't help but notice that all of the windows were just completely covered with little handprints. He didn't know if it was a maintenance problem or what was going on there. Mr. Stoll said to the director of the home, why are all these windows so covered with handprints? The man said, well, Mr. Stoll, the children here love Jesus, and they are so eager for him to return that they lean up against these windows, looking up to the sky, waiting for Jesus to come again. And I want to tell you something, friend. The next time that fear grips your heart, why don't you lean up to the window and remember, he's coming again. Don't live in the fear and the difficulty. Live in the hope and the promises of Jesus Christ, who said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I don't know what you fear today. I don't know what sometimes comes into your mind. I don't know what the what ifs are, but I know you have them. And I want you to participate in this message with me a little bit this morning. I want you to find in your bulletin the little 3x5 card that's found there. And this is just for you. No one's looking at someone else's, but just take a moment and find that 3x5 card. We're going to do something with this later, but right now what I want you to do, take a moment and jot on that card, what are some of the things that perhaps cause fear to your heart? Maybe financial, maybe health, maybe eternity, maybe death. But I don't know. Maybe it's a child. Just take a moment. Just jot something down that would come to your mind. And in a moment, we're going to do something with this. But I want you just for a moment to think about what it is that grips your heart from time to time. Now, the Lord, he knew what was gripping his disciples' heart. They were thinking that he had vanished. They were thinking that their Messiah, they were thinking the one that would make all things right, was no longer existing. They were living in the trauma of the moment. Jesus said, I want you to worship me with assurance, knowing that I am who I say I am. What's gripping your heart today? Just jot it down there. No one's going to see it. Just take a moment and think of it, because we want to give that to the Lord in just a moment. They worshiped with assurance. Now, I want you to notice, secondly, as we close this morning, though, that they worship the Lord in truth. They worship the Lord in truth. Now, notice the truth with me, beginning in verse number 46. And the Bible says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, folks, here's the truth of the matter. If you want to know that your sins are forgiven, if you want to know that heaven is your home someday, if you want Christ to be your personal Savior, then Jesus said, here's the message. There's got to be repentance for the remission of sin. We've got to change our mind about ourselves, our religion, the fact that we were baptized when we were 5 days old. We've got to stop trusting in what someone else did, and we've got to come to a place where we turn and say, Jesus, as a sinner, I trust in you and you alone, and I ask you today to come into my heart and be my Savior. And if you have a red letter edition, you know that those aren't the words of this preacher or the Baptist church. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, repentance for the remission of sin. And so here we worship in the truth. And the truth is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but that we can be justified. We can be forgiven freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus shed His blood, that our sins might be atoned for, that we might have someone else's righteousness applied to our account. And if you have never personally said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and be my Savior, you can do that on this resurrection day. You can worship Him in truth. For the wages of my sin, the Bible says, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know that you have that eternal life? You know, when I think about the grace of God, my heart just gets so thrilled to think that God would love me as a sinner so much that He would send His Son to die for me. My friends, His arms are open wide and His grace is sufficient. And it doesn't matter what grips your heart with fear today, the Lord Jesus Christ, by way of the empty tomb, says, I'm here and I can meet that fear and I can beat that fear if you'll put your faith in me. Oh, thank God, the empty tomb reminds us that our greatest fears are overcome by a resurrected Savior. It may be that that fear is death. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. If you're here today and you do not know for sure that one day you would be with the Lord in heaven, then today I encourage you to trust Him by faith and know that heaven would be your home, because that's what Jesus died to provide for you.
Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.